Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Got Brain podcast presented by Cognitivology, where we will continuously discuss and present in detail the mechanics of intuitive intelligence that are built on our inborn basic intuition. Plus, we will also be presenting the true mechanics and virtues of diversification. Now, you may be pondering, what do these two things have in common? And this is something we will continue to present and unfold for you about the significant connection between these two facets of our human potential. I would like to introduce myself. I am Carla Mencken-Wolf, and also my wonderful best friend and editor, Bryce Conway. And she's going to say something. What would you like to say?
Hi, everybody. My name is Bryce Conway, as Carla Mencken-Wolf had just said. I wanted to say that we are, in fact, the mechanics of intuition and diversification. I hope you guys enjoy our presentation and stick around for others. We welcome all comments and questions. We will try to answer them all throughout the next couple of weeks or months, and hopefully on this journey of brain potential discovery, you guys will learn something. This information is only was developed by us and only can be presented by cognitivologists, which is what we are.
And we also hope to learn something from you from all of you in our audience, as we learn about the questions and inquiries you have about true human brain potential, or the genuine, bona fide, authentic potentialities of what our brain has intended us to be and become in all of our commonality and our uniqueness.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
We're back again.
It's us.
Bryce and Carla.
it is us.
And how are you?
I'm well.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm fine. We never ask each other. You know, here we live in New Jersey, and
it's true.
We got to see a 95% coverage of the eclipse.
Yes. So, and of course, who knew that there would also be an earthquake?
Yes, and a couple of days before that, we had an earthquake. My whole house shook.
Yep.
And so I can knock that off my bucket list.
Okay.
Experience an earthquake. I mean, who puts that on their bucket
list,
right? But
exactly.
But now that it's happened,
yep,
in addition to all the other experiences we've been through, then I can, like, put it on and check it off right away. Just put it there.
Right away, yep.
Because we've done snow. You know, we live in the part of the world where we have snowstorms and hurricanes and everything else like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've even seen many tornadoes or whatever. But the earthquake thing was something that we never necessarily thought about we'd experience. It's a small one, but it's significant for New Jersey.
Yes.
And because of the kind of rock that's on this part of the land, it has a wider resonance, we could say.
We can. Yeah.
You know, shockwave.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay. So that said,
we've caught up, so here we go.
Here we go.
What are we talking about today, Carla?
Yes, what are we talking about? Well, you know, we've started this little campaign from the beginning of the year where we wanted to talk about the selfies, and we've been going into a slow-mo way of bringing out the need of the selfies, and to just, you know, check off that list again that we're talking about is the self-confidence, self-trust, self-esteem or self-worth, if you want to call that, self-telepathy, which is also ability for precognitive thinking, And self-regulation, especially emotional regulation, self-emotional regulation. But there's also self-intellectual regulation, which is very much tied to the way we use our, what people would like to call the third eye, but sort of like the pinpoint that holds together the prefrontal thinking areas where we can do a lot of our imagining and creative thinking, precognitive decision making, and then the accumulated knowledge in the midsections on both sides of the brain, right? And right. then that based on the bottom back part of the brain, where the hippocampus is, especially with that it's involved in a lot of regulatory things, mm-hmm. and especially how the early stages develop there first with emotional cognition and then move forward. And emotional cognition is the basis for all other potentialities and abilities, which should, you know, if we do the math and we're thinking, you know, these whole narratives and rhetoric about, you know, stop being emotional when you're reasoning and, you know, quell your emotions or calm your emotions. If all emotions are treated with unconditional love, then we can use all of our emotions to do our reasoning, because our reasoning or whatever reasoning we come up with is always going to be based on unconditional love, which means that regardless of what we're feeling, even if we're angry, we're still going to be very altruistic in our ways of computing and innovating and whatever it is that we're trying to use our abilities to improve our life or contribute to the world or whatever. This people talk about anger as though it's very evil. Is where is the law that says that anger can never be used for pure goodness? It can. Mm-hmm. I know that people have a difficulty with anger because traditionally for thousands of years in our world, we've understood anger to be where somebody is really withholding their love.
Right.
Or really making conditions on how love is.
Right.
And it can be so hurtful. Mm-hmm. But in real human decision making, all emotions are allowed in the boardroom. Think of the prefrontal areas of your brain as the boardroom where the major executive decisions are made.
Right.
All emotions are allowed in the boardroom.
Right.
And that's the way that it is.
Should be present, actually.
And, right. And nobody's going to feel offended. Nobody's going to feel any more offended of you if you're feeling angry than if you were showing the greatest depth of unconditional love. Because people are going to be secure enough in all of these selfies and trust that you are going to use whatever emotions you need to use to relay your message, to come up with an idea, to really outline an innovation, whatever the case is.
Right.
Right. Because if anger is natural, which it is to like any other emotions, then there has to be a way for self-regulation is for any emotions to be trustworthy.
Right.
That's what how the brain really works. That's how emotional intelligence really works. But the narrative in the world is that emotional intelligence and self-regulation means that you're just calm. Now, with very young kids in the early years, we need to show a certain amount of calmness. But is it necessary for kids to see anger? Well, they're already going to experience their own anger because of lack of experience in life.
Right.
But we need to show pure unconditional love even more so at that time, mm-hmm. so that they can understand that every emotion is usable or applicable for something. They're still going to feel the love flowing, but we may have to
talk the more through that or work with them side by side as they're trying to come up with some way to resolve whatever is frustrating them to such a degree that they're angry. And, you know, a lot of the times children will be really angry, especially very young children get angry because they are unable to convey what it is they need to say to the adults in their
right.
life. The adults are spending so little time because of the demands of life with their kids that they're unable to understand what they're saying.
Right.
And so it's like the children are speaking a foreign language. And oftentimes children will feel like the parents are speaking a foreign language to them. But when I was working in early education, there was one child I remember that, there was nothing in terms of a speech impediment or anything like that, but still the way he was talking was just incomprehensible. And it just occurred to me in a second one day, rather than get frustrated, I just looked at the two kids beside him and I'm like, you know what he's saying, right? And they were like, yeah, he's just saying this. And the other one said, and he's also saying that. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I see where he's saying that now. I understand. Thanks for the translation. But other kids that know the language, you know, or just sort of grown up a little bit more, and so they've stopped speaking that language, but they could still translate it. You really
right.
need to use those translators. It's always great to have other kids around. So there's a lot tied into how things actually work. So in a lot of today's explanations about what to do with your kid here or what to do with your kid there or how to resolve this particular issue when it comes up, it's very segregated. It's removed from everything else. And then the solution that's usually given there oftentimes is workable, is interventive, is healing. But it still oftentimes fails to unveil or reveal the depth of what that is and then how that particular event or behavior is connected to other things.
Right.
So, for instance, it's very easy even to get on the internet and look for advice that will tell you how to deal with your, you know, temper tantrum, terrible twos toddler, the quadruple T, right?
Right.
Or the quintuple T, whichever way you want to put it. But is that really normal? Are temper tantrums actually normal is the question. Because in a nutshell, what we basically find is that there's this really well-credentialed person explaining how to deal with and soothe the temper tantrum child.
Right.
Terrible twos toddler. And it's really intriguing to watch the examples that you could see when somebody is offering this information, because when I'm looking at it, I'm seeing somebody's really a parent really working hard to soothe the temper tantrum toddler.
Right.
But is that temper tantrum there because they were expected to self-soothe in the infancy stage? So they're wanting to soothe their toddler now, but were they soothing their child when they were in the infancy, like
right.
in 0.0 seconds, as we've spoken about? And now I know a lot of people will say, well, I attended my child, I pay attention to them, but in reality, this is one of the hardest truths we will ever dispense to people. But terrible two tantrum toddlers are, that's a vestige of the, you wanted them to self-soothe when they were infants somehow.
Right.
Or you left them crying too long. Sorry. And maybe it was a different type of event that was maybe more important to them. It could have just been when they were hungry. It could have just been when they wanted you to look at something that they did and you were too busy doing another thing. Or you failed.
Or your favorite, that you expect them to behave a certain way mm-hmm. without having precognized, preempted, predetermined, warned the infant that this unconditional love is actually conditional.
Right. So there was a lot of conditions attached to compliance, and we started speaking about this in our last session, but where people really think that discipline is just it's a thing in and of itself, where you have to comply with these certain rules of behavior, and if you do that, then you will get rewarded or loved, or and there's little flexibility as to how we can get around. You know, you may be persecuted or ostracized by other people. And then there's all those false, completely evil false labels, like, oh, if you give the kid too much love, you're gonna spoil them. Or, you know, spoiling a kid is never keeping your word. Spoiling a kid is failing to give them unconditional love. That's what spoiling is.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
As you and I were having a conversation, it's like, will people ever call you spoiled because you have too much knowledge, because you've learned too much, because you have a master's in three or four different fields of... Do people go around and tell you you're a spoiled intellect? You know,
right.
It's like...
right.
Like, how could you have too much knowledge or intelligence? How is that always a great... But you would be... Something would be wrong with you if you got too much love, if you got too much unconditional love. Like, that is the ultimate evidence that we misunderstand how our brains really, really work.
Yes. Yes.
And
in fact, if you look at it, really, if you think, if everybody knows what would be termed a spoiled brat, everybody has known one of those in their lifetime. And if you think about it, the spoiled brat persona, character, whatever you want to call
right.
it, is the person who's trying to draw attention to themselves because they were devoid of that.
Yeah, they were denied that.
They were denied it. They were devoid of it. They have very little knowledge of unconditional love. It was always conditional. Right. Whereas what we're saying is...
Well, love was based in things, and people thought that giving a lot of stuff might be... Now, that could be termed as spoiled, but the child is spoiled because they got things, a plethora of things, an abundance of things, in place of getting an abundance of unconditional love.
Exactly.
So, yes. So in going over the selfies again, because we're going to be coming to a close in a minute or two, right?
Yes. Yep. Four.
Yes. And I thank you for that wonderful contribution explanation. But... So these things are like the four main forces of the universe, right? Before, for a second, there's a better scientific way to explain it, but in very elementary terms, the four forces of the universe, like space-time and light speed and energy matter and gravity, curvature of space-time. So for a few seconds, at least, before the Big Bang, or at the time of the Big Bang, or just following the Big Bang, these things were just one blob of
force,
right?
Yes.
So, essentially, we could say, I might guess that they were some sort of electromagnetic blob that. Upon the Big Bang or explosion, like I said, there's a better scientific way of explaining it, were you could say lineated into specific forces that had very particular purposes of potential and do their very succinct, specific task in the construction, in helping the construction of the universe. But originally, they're connected. They work in tandem. They're connected. You could find them connected. You can either study entanglement or you can study, you know, E=mc², in any number of ways you'll find it. Going back to the source, they were one and the same. So that's the same for the selfies that we're talking about. They all originate from one force, one resource, and that is the unconditional love. And then that basis where everything is interconnected rather than spoken about as separate elements that they have to be treated as separate things as though they are lacking an interconnection.
Right.
And that interconnection between all things of all of our abilities is intuition, which is one and the same as entanglement itself. And also another conversation that we had started earlier talking about the theta frequency or the theta wave. And because there's a lot of talk going around about how four-year-olds are geniuses in their own right. And they have a great ability to solve problems. They're great problem solvers. Okay. Solving problems.
That would be all 4-year-olds.
That would be all
4-year-olds. That would be all 4-year-olds.
Right. And yeah. And so we want to get back this intuition. We want to heal the inner child. We want to master this theta wave. But where cognitivology is concerned, once again, is if that intuitive, and even Jean Piaget said 4-year-olds are intuitive learners. So they're an intuitive learner, and they've been tested where they had the highest brain wave for the theta frequency. So these things are all one, and all cognitive functions are one and the same at that time. So when we put those twos and twos together, we see where and why and how that they are the best problem solvers. So our quest at Cognitivology, of course, is great. Kudos to all the people out there doing all the healing and helping people self-develop and regain the theta wave and everything like that. Our quest is to make sure that the theta wave and everything that comes with the 4-year-old learning spree, that genius level way of thinking, solving problems, the intuitive ability to do anything, unnecessary to sit and meditate before they just are completely involved or aware of something. Again, our quest is ensuring that that intuitive cognitive theta brainwave stays intact.
Rather and connected. Than
and connected, because it already implies connectivity. The whole brain and intuitive learning already implies instantaneous automatic connectivity. But what is necessary to keep that intact? And that's also based on the three and a half years before that unconditional loving stage. So where we're going with the selfies and the theme this year is defining each of the parts that make up who we are, understanding all the parts that go in there. Where are the missing pieces? How do we compute that? How do we create the computations also then to connect all those things together? That's where we're creating the real essence and understanding of intuitive intelligence. And replacing consciousness and meditation with intuition and the direct dominion of the theta wave, which is one and the same as unconditional love, connection to the divine, and complete accessibility to the knowledge of the universe. All of these things, they're one and the same. So that's where we're going. So how our quest is in keeping that part of ourselves intact and passing that on as the new tradition for human development and human progress. So Kudos to everybody and all your selfies. Celebrate your selfies. Let them have a party together because they're supposed to be connected together. And that's all we're going to say for today. Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we'll say so long until the next time. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Again. And if any of this sounded interesting, buy us a coffee.
Oh, yes. It's called Buy Me a Coffee. You know, and when it comes to coffee, I think that I could go ahead and confess that I'm a very, that's my one selfish thing in life. I want my coffee and I want it my way and I want it now.
Okay. And on that note, we're going to go get a coffee.
Buy me a coffee. Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.